Testing, 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 testing. Good. Well, good evening and welcome. This is a public hearing that provides an opportunity for the public and other interested parties to make suggestions for changing Utah's standards of quality for waters of the state, R317-2, as part of the triennial review. My name is Chris Bittner. I work for the Division of Water Quality, and I will be conducting the public hearing this evening. The purpose of this hearing is to receive formal comments on changes to be considered for R317-2, Standards of Quality for Waters of the States, as part of the triennial review. This is a formal hearing conducted under the laws of the state of Utah. I welcome you and thank you for taking the time to provide feedback on the proposed rule changes. If you have not done so, please sign the attendance sheet on the table near the door. DWQ has made a preliminary list of topics to be considered available on DWQ's website. In addition to suggesting new topics, commenters can comment on the topics proposed. We are solely receiving comments today for our consideration. There will be no attempt by us to address your concern in this forum. No items will be voted on and no actions will be taken. We may ask for clarifications. Comments can also be submitted in writing until February 18, 2011. Following this hearing, we will take all comments received during the public comment period and at the public hearing and evaluate them. DWQ will prepare a response that will address DWQ's support of the proposed change and when DWQ anticipates that the change can be addressed. Any proposed major changes to the standards will be submitted to the Water Quality Standards Work Group for consideration. All changes to the standards require additional public notification, hearing, and opportunity for comments. At this time, I ask those of you wishing to make a formal statement to please come to the table, speak into the microphone, state your name and affiliation for our records, and provide your comments.
Good evening. My name is Ariel Colmes. I'm a third year law student at the University of Utah. I'm here as part of the Environmental Law Clinic. I'm going to adjust this guy. Okay. And I'm here today testifying on behalf of the Western Resource Advocates, who are the clinic clients, and we're working for them, for their clients, the Friends of the Great Salt Lake, and a number of other coalitions who are working with the Friends of the Great Salt Lake to address predominantly Great Salt Lake issues. As part of this testimony, we believe that there are 8 action items on your list that you should most definitely undertake during this part of the triennial review, and that you are obliged to do so under the Clean Water Act. The first is a duty to promulgate numeric water quality standards for the Great Salt Lake. We realize that you are doing this and you're working on a selenium standard. We'd also like to address the translator for the selenium standard from the bird egg tissue to an effluent standard. I think this is a wonderful idea. Very, very good. However, some of the coalitions still object to the original number for the selenium standard. We will be submitting written comments on this and all the issues that I mentioned, so you'll have an in-depth idea of what I'm talking about, but we just want to give you a taste today. Of course, our first item is the Great Salt Lake and numeric water quality criteria. The second item is your methylmercury criterion. We fully support a methylmercury criteria for all the water bodies in Utah, and especially for the Great Salt Lake. The United States Geological Survey that Jody Gardberg and others have participated in indicates that methylmercury is a big issue for the Great Salt Lake, and we hope that once you find your footing in establishing methylmercury criterions for freshwater bodies, that you can translate that, hopefully, to the Great Salt Lake and its needs. And in doing so, maybe establish a mercury criterion for elemental mercury as well, since they're sort of related. The next item I'd like to discuss is the revision of your narrative water quality standard to add a biological narrative standard. This is also an excellent idea. We believe that this is definitely in line with the basic goals of the Clean Water Act. However, we are concerned that the draft form of the narrative biological standard may not be meeting the requirements of the Clean Water Act, simply because it does not allow the Department of Water Quality to use the standard when it is permitting or enforcing permits. We feel this unreasonably restricts the Department of Water Quality's authority to take action based on the standard, and the Clean Water Act requires that water bodies meet all applicable standards, so the water body would need to meet the biological standard as well. This may be just a drafting error, but we wanted to note it for you. The fourth item is the anti-degradation standards. Friends opposes the examples in the anti-degradation standards that you use and feel that maybe a statute is not the right place to use examples of what might or might not be an exemption to anti-degradation, but instead it would be more appropriate to set some sort of scientific or other criteria that says you won't have to go through level two anti-degradation when X, Y, or Z happens because we know there will be no change. And that in order to enforce that, it would be easy to require the company or group who holds the permit or is doing the action to periodically monitor the water just to prove to you that that is in fact the case. And that that would be an easier solution to the anti-degradation problem than to try to write examples for every little potential issue and then have EPA complain about one of 10 or whatever and have you have to start over. We noticed you've added primary contact recreation or 2A designations to the Ogden River, the Fremont River, and several ditches. Friends is very excited about that and very pleased to see that that's happening and encourages you to continue to do that for as many water bodies as is feasible. We also support your efforts to promulgate and implement a statewide nutrient criteria. We feel this is part of your affirmative duty and you're working to meet it very effectively at this point. However, we would also like to see you establish a nutrient criteria for the Great Salt Lake. We realize this may be difficult, but still encourage you to do so and feel that it would help you in the long run to establish that in order to be able to more efficiently and effectively address things like permit challenges in the future because you have a numeric standard to use as a base, which would be awesome. We also support your implementation of sediment quantity and quality criteria. I believe this was potentially for the Red Rocks region, but we feel like that this is a great thing to start doing and that once you do so, you should be able to do that for many water bodies. And that's definitely a place where you should put your resources when possible. Sediment's obviously a huge issue in the southern region of the state. We believe that although not necessarily an affirmative duty, that the following five actions on your list should be a priority for you in the coming years. And the first is the translator standard for Great Salt Lake Selenium criteria. That's definitely necessary for implementing the criterion. And once you have that in place, the potential issues with the selenium criteria, whether or not it is protective enough, will be more clear. And that will also be helpful in later challenges. We would like to flag the Jordan River, and although at this point it appears that the TMDL is working toward better protection for the Jordan River, and we applaud that effort, we hope that that continues to be possible, and we hope that when you change the criteria, you will consider the fact that it is tributary to the Great Salt Lake, and that protection of the Great Salt Lake is also a concern when you're working on factors for the Jordan River. Under EPA's advisement on the Class 2B and 2A distinction for primary contact recreation, we wonder if there's currently a lot of discussion and argument, changes in designations from 2B to 2A, and we wonder if it might be easier to simply make those one category, which is a choice under EPA, which would have the same effective result. Currently, it appears that the criteria for the water bodies, the difference is 0.2%. That may make a difference in a few water bodies, but overall, it might be easier and more simple to simply call everything a 2A and protect primary contact recreation and not worry about what's happening with the 2A and 2B. However, there may be particular water bodies where it's appropriate to consider, like wetlands, that they're not always suitable for primary contact recreation, and that might be something you would incorporate into the 2A standard and then be done with. And you'd have one numeric criteria for all of them. They'd be very simple for permit challenges, and you would be able to get rid of a lot of the little legal nitpicks that happen when the 2A, 2B distinction is raised with the Clean Water Act. Finally, Friends opposes your construction exception. We understand that you are considering expanding it to Category 2 waters and that currently applies to Category A. However, we feel that it should be either stricken from the exceptions or amended for the Category 1 waters because we're concerned that, like some of the anti-degradation exceptions, it's maybe an inappropriate example of an exception and could be better covered under a larger anti-degradation policy that requires the company to do some sort of moderate self-monitoring simply to ensure that the best practices are actually in use, and that that could be incorporated into the anti-deg standards fairly simply without worrying about specific construction exemptions and the exact phrasing of what we're going to call best practices, for example, that simply putting that in the anti-deg would eliminate those potential legal challenges or arguments for you in the future and maybe save some of your resources to do something else. Finally, Friends supports the Department of Water Quality's efforts to implement and monitor water temperature criterion. We realize that's an important issue for the state of Utah and the Jordan River at this time. We encourage the DWQ to use resources wisely in order to address the temperature issues of our water bodies and deal with the potential issues that water bodies are being maybe listed as impaired when it's a temperature issue and not another pollutant issue, where it's not as an important an issue maybe as something like methyl mercury, and changing the temperature criteria slightly will help you to address other issues and put your resources in other places that might be more pressing at this time. With that, I'd like to introduce my colleague, Thad Garlick, who would like to address a couple of the issues that I mentioned just briefly with a little more detail. Ready? Okay.
My name is Thad Garlick. I'm a University of Utah law school student here on behalf of Friends of the Great Salt Lake. Like Ariel just mentioned, we have a few things that we think are very present that DWQ should focus on. First and probably foremost would be the anti-degradation standards that are in review at this moment that the EPA has reviewed. We take an exception to the examples. We feel that basically they allow too much wiggle room. That people will be able to find ways around. With those examples, and that they're just open-ended examples that just give way too much wiggle room. We also wanted to mention one about the impound wetlands, that the per the agreement made with Western Resource Advocates, that they agreed to the deletion of the numeric criteria that is currently associated with the wetlands of the Farmingham Bay. They made that concession that they would basically DWQ would find a more efficient and scientific sound method for the impound wetland assessments. So one of DWQ friends is, DWQ is a little, is behind schedule in promulgating those new assessments, and so friends are anxiously awaiting the, awaiting that information on this topic. I know that Ariel briefly talked about the sediment quality standard. We feel that this is basically an important criteria that DWQ needs to address. We know that it's basically in the Red Rock, right now it's for the Red Rock region of the state, but we also feel that that can translate outwards to other areas such as the Great Salt Lake, in particular because of its characteristics of being a terminal body of water, that increased levels of sediment flowing into the lake would reduce basically the depth of the lake and basically turn it into a big puddle of water if it's basically it's not taken care of. And so we lose impounded wetlands that way. We lose basically surface area shrinkage. So, but we do support the DWQ's sediment quality criteria for promulgating that. Friends, also, we support your efforts in basically promulgating and implementing water temperature criteria. We feel that it would be more, that not only that it should be a thermal criteria, but it also should be for cold water discharges as well, because Utah is home to more than just cold water sports fish. We are home to many species of warm water fish, and discharges from reservoirs and that such into the water tends to be, the water is colder than the water coming out of a normal, at a normal flow, and that does impact the aquatic life, not only fish but also birds as well, and other aquatic life. And that's all that I have to say. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Does anybody else would is there anybody else who would like to make a comment at this point? If not, I'm going to adjourn the hearing. We'll re-adjourn at 7 o'clock if no one else comes in, or we'll reinstate if somebody comes in and makes a comment. But right now we're adjourning, so we're off the record.